Blog Talk Radio.
3, 2, 1. What if some of Walt Disney's most notorious villains had offspring? How would they grow up? Disney Channel Memory answered both questions 2 years ago with Descendants, and more than 100 million viewers worldwide embraced what they saw. Tonight, Descendants 2 takes off with a rare 6-network simulcast, including the Disney Channel, ABC, Freeform, and Lifetime. Executive producer Wendy Chaffetz joins me next in an internet radio exclusive. Old Broadway gets a newcomer next month about the Tube's impact on the set of quirky characters. TV in My Bones is the play, and next half hour we'll have a scene with writer C.S. Hansen and co-star and co-producer Phoebe Marr. A daytime drama champion turns that drama and that medium on its ear next Friday with The Rich and the Ruthless, one of Redwood Movie Channel's first original scripted series. Star, creator, and executive producer Victoria Rowell comes to our program an hour from now, live from the Isle of Jamaica. Also ahead, our latest classic trivia question winner. Hello, everyone. I'm Simon Applebaum, live from New York on Blog Talk Radio. This just in, tomorrow will be televised. Brought to you today by Audible.com, a leading provider of spoken audio entertainment and information that will transform the way you hear the world. Listen to audiobooks whenever and wherever you want. Get a free book when you sign up for a 30-day trial at audibletrial.com/televised. More details later in the program. 90 degrees at the top of the hour here in New York, and welcome to the Friday edition of the program All About Television. Special 90-minute episode for you to cool you down if you're particularly in the middle of this heat wave as we are here in New York. Nice to have you aboard. If you are dealing with the heat wave, please drink lots of fluids, take it nice and easy, check on the loved ones, and stick around with us. I think we have a wonderful cool down for you over the next hour and a half with some sensational people along the way. So not only take a listen, but tell your friends to listen in too right here on Blog Talk Radio. And we invite all of you, no matter where you are, to be part of the program. It's so simple. Give us a call. The number you use, 646-652-2906. That's 646-652-2906. That number's good anywhere you're catching us across the country, around the world, right here on Blog Talk Radio. Our chat room is going. It's SimonApple04 by name. It's another way to get involved in the program. You will find that at our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. And while the program is on the air, you can connect others by using Facebook Timeline. Click on the Facebook icon on your Blog Talk screen, follow the instructions, and other people can be live with you. Live with us right now from Pasadena, California, an area exclusive, the executive producer of Descendants 2, Wendy Chaffetz. Wendy, welcome in.
Thank you.
What do you think about the fact that here we are 2 years after your first movie, and you've got ABC and Lifetime and Freeform and a few other networks all connected with you?
We are so pumped that we're going out simultaneously across all the Disney television platforms. I think it's the first time that Disney television has ever done that, and we're really honored and excited.
When did this happen? When did the call get made that ABC and Disney XD and Disney, et cetera, we're all going to do this together? And it is very rare, by the way. It's also a very rare cable and broadcast simulcast, for that matter.
Yeah. We actually really only heard it when we delivered the movie, which was not very long ago. We finished post-production on the movie really in May of this year, so about 6 weeks ago, and I believe that at that time, I think Mr. Iger himself actually was a big fan of the movie and had a hand in making that decision, along with all of the respective heads of each of the television divisions under the Disney moniker. So we're really proud that everybody supports the movie.
The original movie did what High School Musical and Teen Beach Movie and the Cheetah Girls all did. They really hit a nerve to the general public, not just to Disney Channel's audience of kids and tweens. Why do you think this did?
Well, you know, I have a lot to say about that, actually. I think the movies, both Descendants 1 and what everybody's going to see in Descendants 2, they have a very contemporary feel. They take the characters that, you know, I have a grown daughter. Most of the people involved in making the movies, we all know the original Disney animated movies from our own childhoods, from our own parents. in bringing up our own kids, and they have a very special place in people's hearts all over the world, not just Americans, but internationally. You know, these are really beloved, iconic stories and characters. So I think the idea for Descendants of making a sort of original, more contemporary take on what if the villains, the bad guys of those classic Disney stories, what if they had kids now? What would those kids be like? It's kind of a great jumping off point for so much for kids now to relate to. So we have all these adolescent characters, the VKs, or villain kids, as we call them, in Descendants 1, and we have this core group of characters that we established in Descendants 1, and they all return, with one exception, in Descendants 2, and we've added some new characters, and they really, I think, are a window into exploring how you feel as an adolescent being an individual, how you relate to your friends, how you relate to coming from a family. Sometimes you really feel like your family is just like you. Sometimes you feel like you're different from your family. If your mom was an arch villain, maybe you're not an arch villain. Maybe you're good and you want to be good. I think it gives kids and families all of this emotional substance to talk about and feel as they go through the adventures of Descendants, and as you'll see, the adventures in Descendants 2. So they're really timely.
Something else about this particular film, Wendy, it's one of those, why didn't they think about this before films, when you think about it, that, you know, for so long we've grown up on some of these classic, particularly animated Disney villains. And you sort of come away with, well, what if they've done a movie on this before? Why did it take so long for somebody to come up with a, duh, this is so simple. Let's see what would happen if these villains grew up and had a family of their own.
Well, you know, I think things happen at the right time, you know. They just happen when they happen. And we have these wonderful writers named Josanne McGibbon and Sarah Perriott. I've known them for years, and they've written some wonderful, actually, kind of girl empowerment material. Like, they wrote a movie called Runaway Bride years ago, and they've both raised their own kids. And I think their former assistant, who now works at the Disney Channel, actually approached them with the concept, and they ran with it. So sometimes things are a combination of luck and timing. You know, the person who actually is within the Disney company having the idea at the time where they have the writer that they can bring it to, who sparks to it and actually can solve the puzzle. Because it's a big puzzle, if you think about it, you know. It's a lot of animated movies. And which villains do you pick, and how do they hang together, and how do you make it feel timely, you know, for today so it resonates? And I think Descendants 1 hit that nerve that you're talking about, where it made kids relate to, I can choose who I am, you know, I can be good. And I think that really, it just kind of took off around the world, and I think we're just building on that momentum in Descendants 2 and taking it one step further, really making it more inclusive, more about, you know, there's room for all different kinds of people. You can be who you are, be yourself, believe in yourself, make room for all different kinds of people, and that's where your strength is. And that's a really, really timely message for kids and for families, and it's not just in this country, it's everywhere, really.
Descendants 2, the sequel to Descendants, a big hit, Super Smash from 2 years ago. It appears tonight at 8:10 Eastern Pacific Time on your local ABC station, on Disney Channel, on Disney XD, on Freeform, on Lifetime, and on LMM, also known as Lifetime Movies. Also on some of the digital sites of those channels. And we've got the executive producer, Wendy Jaffet, with us live as Internet Radio exclusive right here on Tomorrow Be Televised. Simon Applebaum with you live from New York. Wendy is in Pasadena, California. Where you where you are, we'd love to hear from you. So give us a call, 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. Monday on Tomorrow Be Televised, we'll preview a brand new series from Amazon. It's The Last Tycoon, the adaptation of one of the great classic works by F. Scott Fitzgerald. We've got the executive producers and the creators of the series with us, Billy Ray and Christopher Kaiser. That's next Monday, 3:10 Eastern, New Pacific, here on Tomorrow Be Televised. And 2 weeks after that, we've got a very special date. August 7th, it's our 10th anniversary of the program Live on Television. We will celebrate that and kick off our second decade. I'm delighted to tell you that our first two guests for that episode of the United Edition will be the new head of Platform One Television, former head of Beaumont Television, Katie O'Connell Marsh, and the head of FX, John Langwehr. Both in the radio exclusives and both with us on Monday, August 7th, 3:10 Eastern, New Pacific, our 10th anniversary edition right here on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. Wendy, how soon after Descendants was seen all over the place did you and your colleagues decide, let's make a sequel?
It was really up to the Disney company, and it happened pretty quickly. But then we had to write the sequel, you know, and that means creating the next story. And it was figured out, you know, from the ground up, from scratch. So I would say that took about a year, that process. And then once the story was really formed and everybody kind of agreed on it, then we had to prep the movie, prepare the movie. And that took another almost 6 months, I would say. So there's a two-year gap in between when we were finishing, when the first movie aired, and we were shooting the second movie.
Mm-hmm. When you do a sequel, particularly one to a film, so many millions of people have seen, what's your process when you work with your colleagues, when you work with the cast, in terms of how you want that sequel, that second film to turn out?
Well, I would say first we want across the board to surpass what we did the first time. We want it to be deeper emotionally. We want it to be fuller and richer visually. We want it to be the music to be bigger and better. We wanted the dance numbers to be even more amazing. We had, on this movie, much bigger visual effects sequences, much bigger locations than we had on the first movie. So we really kind of tried to set the bar a lot higher for ourselves, and that means in every department. So that means the choreography, the production design, the costume design, and then we have the core kids who are our actors, and we added a bigger cast. We brought in new characters to enhance the story and also to create more conflict, more nemesis, more story for our core characters. So in this sequel, we have our original characters, and we have a new villain whose name is Uma, and she is the daughter of Ursula, the sea witch from The Little Mermaid. And she's played by China Anna Quinn, who is like a force of nature. She sings, she dances. She's a fantastic actress, and she goes head-to-head with Dove Cameron, who is our heroine, Mal, who is the daughter of Maleficent from Descendants 1. And Uma has two sidekicks who are her pirate first and second mate, the son of Captain Hook, whose name is Harry Hook, who's played by the very gorgeous Thomas Doherty, and the very, very funny son of Gil from Beauty and the Beast. It's Gil, the son of Gaston from Beauty and the Beast, the kind of big big lug from Beauty and the Beast, Gaston. His son, Gil, is the comic relief, who is also Uma's sidekick, and he's played by the very, very handsome and lovely Dylan Playfair. So we've added this new group of characters to our villain kids. They all confront each other on the Isle of the Lost, which is our original location from Descendants 1, and we're now seeing more of the Isle of the Lost in Descendants 2 than we did in the original movie. So everything is kind of expanded and deepened. I don't know if that answers your question, but we really wanted to give the audience more, to let the imagination go further with the worlds that we had created in Descendants 1. And I think we really, from the feedback we're getting, I think that the audience has been really, really happy.
And for those who don't remember China Ann McLean, she was a star of a long-running Disney Channel comedy called Ant Farm. She is one great person with a punchline. And I still remember her when, before Ant Farm happened, when she was introduced in a Disney Channel preview here in New York, she steps up to a microphone, has a guitar in hand, and knocks out the Taylor Cruz song Day-O in such a way she was like instant star.
Totally. You won't believe how good she is in this. I'm telling you. She's just amazing. Amazing. Mm-hmm. And the kids also, now they know each other. You know, our core cast has now done two movies together. So there's a camaraderie and there's like a reality to their relationships, to their friendships, to the way that they stand up to each other, stand up for each other. And I think that the audience really gets swept up in the stakes that they all have in what's going on in the story. So it's really been very gratifying to see how the sequel has just built on the original movie.
For those who don't know, your colleague Wendy, as director and choreographer, as he was in Descendants, is the brilliant Kenny Ortega, who did High School Musical 1, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, and a few other films for Disney, too. And he was in the Hollywood Reporter this morning, in a very interesting interview, and one fact he brought out was a stunner. Did you do a musical number in a typhoon or while a typhoon was going on?
Yes, we did. We were filming in Vancouver in British Columbia. Oridon, which is our magical kingdom where all the Disney heritage characters live, is on Vancouver Island. And the Isle of the Lost, we filmed in various locations in Vancouver, in the city. And because the Isle of the Lost is a grittier prison island location. And we were filming one of our big dance numbers, which is called Chillin' Like a Villain. And we had a particular day scheduled to do that particular dance number, and we did have a typhoon that day, and a lot of the number takes place outside in sort of alleyways. So we did a lot of very quick adjustment, and we did some of the number in covered areas. We waited and didn't shoot until the weather cleared up in other instances, but we very much are, that's, I consider my job first and foremost is to make sure that we always do safety first for the crew as well as the cast. So we are extremely, extremely aware of our circumstances and very, very responsible about taking care of everybody involved. So that was a hairy, intense day. And as a matter of fact, in a weird way, I think everybody rose to it, and that number is one of my favorites, actually, in the movie. I think everybody just put their guts into it because it had such a kind of tension behind getting it done in that particular circumstance.
Now, you had a number of busy times. Yeah, that is so amazing that you were able to get that done while such a, yeah. I mean, it's very, very rare that, oh, we're going to shoot a musical number in a typhoon. Ha-ha, let's go. But that's an amazing accomplishment to do. And that was just one of the accomplishments that you dealt with. Another, I understand, from Kenny, is that you found this 100-year-old copper mine, and that becomes a major place in the story.
Yes. It's amazing. It's a real location, also in British Columbia. There was a lot of mining done because of all the richness of the earth, because there's so much water up there. And there was a mine that was built into the side of a mountain, and it's still standing. And other movies have used it as locations before. It's very, very high. So it almost, when you're inside, it almost feels like an exterior location. It's got the walls of the mountain are exposed. The rock is exposed, but there's a ceiling over it and a wall of windows. So you get a fair amount of natural light and a lot of height and a lot of exposed rock. So we did dress, which means the production designer built a set expanding out from those rocks. And we had a lot of safety checking and a lot of rigging, but we had our cast and our dancers moving around in that location as part of the Isle of the Lost. So again, it gives the movie this big scope, you know, this big scale. It looks very large, and it gives us a new look at the Isle of the Lost, which is near the water, feels very gritty and rocky and watery, and it looks fantastic. And then if it's raining, we're inside, which is a great plus if you're trying to produce a movie and keep it on time. It's much better if it's not raining on you and you can keep shooting if it's raining.
Incidentally, many of the people that were involved in the first Descendants movie are back in the second. David Lawrence won an Emmy nomination for his work on the first, is back as a composer. And earlier,
Let
me mention the writers who are Sarah Parnett and Joanne. Is that right? Josie McGibbon
and right. Sarah Perriott. Yes.
Right.
And we have the same production designer, Mark Toffling, is back again. Same costume designer. Carison is back again. And Kenny is back. I'm back. And so we have a little core group that has returned for the sequel.
Mm-hmm. I do want to point out, for those that don't know, you mentioned Runaway Bride earlier, Wendy. Runaway Bride, of course, is the movie with Julia Roberts. That's the movie that Mark Anthony had the wonderful hit, You Sing to Me. And they also did a terrific USA miniseries way back called The Starter Wife with Deborah Messing that later became a limited series on the network. Really wonderful job. I remember that miniseries quite well, and they did a terrific job with that.
That's right. That's right. They're great writers, absolutely great writers. And there's a real girl empowerment theme, you know, in the original Descendants and in Descendants 2, which is very, very, it's very integrated into the whole thing. There's a lot of action. There's a lot of adventure. It's very natural. It's very seamless as a part of the storytelling. But it's there, and I think that's part of why the audience really loves the movie so much. You know, everybody's looking for characters to look up to, you know, and this really gives you all these girl characters as well as guy characters that you can look up to and aspire to.
Wendy Jaffe is the executive producer of Descendants 2. It's the new Disney Channel movie, the sequel to the original from 2 years ago, and it's getting a royal play tonight on your local ABC station at 8 p.m. Eastern Pacific Time, simulcast on Disney Channel, Disney XD, Lifetime, Freeform, and LMN Lifetime Movie Network. And that's not all. At 10:30 tonight on your local ABC station, there is an after party with the Descendants 2 cast. And at 10 o'clock, right after the movie on Disney Channel, is the premiere of the new series Raven's Home with Raven Simone and her best friend, Annabeth Vanderpoel. Remember that, So Raven, and I certainly do, one of the best comedy series Disney Channel ever did. They are back. I consider Raven and Annabeth the Lucille Ball, Vivian Vance of our TV generation. And they are back together, and it should be a lot of fun. That's at 10 o'clock Eastern Pacific Time on the Disney Channel. Wendy joins us live from Pasadena, California this half hour on Tomorrow Beach Televised. Delighted you are with us, wherever you are, across the country, around the world, here on Blog Talk Radio. Simon Apple Family live from New York. Got a few more minutes with Wendy. Be part of the action. Ring in 646-652-2906. or use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. Coming up in our next half hour, we've got a new winner for our Classic Trivia Question of the Week. We'll tell you who it is, what they're getting, and our winning answer. And we'll also go to New York, where a new old Broadway play is coming together about TV's influence on a bunch of very interesting New Yorkers. It's called TV in My Bones. You'll meet the writer and the co-star producer, and there's a crowdfunding campaign that you can be part of to get this thing not only at Theater for the New City next month, but maybe even a further run beyond that. That's all coming up in our next half hour. What was it like working with your entire core cast? We know Bill Cameron with Liv and Maddie, Sophia Carson, who is a triple threat performer, sing, dance, back to the storm, now becoming a major recording star, the other cast members as well. What was it like to bring everybody back and also take their characters and themselves to a whole different level?
You know, it's awesome. I can't express enough how much admiration and love I have for the kids. They work so hard. They're so professional. They're so talented. And I think, you know, the success of the movie really sits on their shoulders and Kenny's, because I think the unit that they create, the respect that they give each other, and the support that they give each other, they're very lovely, like, good people, these kids. And I think it shines through in the characters and on screen. I really believe that. I've worked on a lot of movies over a lot of years, and there's something very wonderful about kids who really have their heart and soul in the work that they're doing. They're just giving their best. They couldn't give more. They're giving all of it to the movie, to each other, and putting it out there on the screen. And I'm very proud of supporting them and empowering them to do that. And to see them over time, you know, grow up on screen and overcome things. You know, we have one kid in the Descendants 2 movie who didn't have any dance training. He was very athletic. He had a lot of sports training, and he had, all of a sudden, had to do all of this dancing, and it scared him to death. And he was awesome. He just learned it with everybody else. We have Kenny's wonderful with the kids at pairing the kids with dancers to sort of practice each of the dance numbers and prep them so that they feel they have enough rehearsal, and they also build up their confidence because they can do anything. But if they've never had the experience, they don't know that they can do it, you know, until they rehearse it and they have somebody reflecting back at them what a good job they're doing. So we're very, very mindful of, you know, just how hard they work, just how much they're accomplishing, and we're just really blown away by their dedication and talent.
Mm-hmm. And one more thing before we go. If you saw the original film, if you stayed right to the very, very, very end, you caught one of 2015's most sensationally produced, sensationally caught on camera, sensationally performed musical numbers anywhere on any channel. You can look forward to the same thing tonight and then some. So when you think the end of the movie is around, let me tell you, I've seen some clips from this. Stick around to the very end again, because you are going to see a number that is even more spectacular. When I saw Kenny Ortega talk about this, the Hollywood Reporter, this is really something amazing. And it is, and nobody's ever done, I think you agree, Wendy, nobody's ever done a number quite like this. I just want to sort of leave it there. I'm deliberately leaving it hanging because I think the audience is going to be really surprised by this.
Thank you, Simon. I agree. It's like it's pretty incredible and so stunning. Thanks for saying that.
You're very welcome. Descendants 2, it all starts tonight. 8 p.m. Eastern and Pacific Time on 6 channels, your local ABC station, the Disney Channel, Disney XD, Lifetime, Freeform, and LMN, also known as Lifetime Movie Network. And again, on Disney Channel, stick around afterward for the premiere of the new series, Raven's Home, with Raven Simone and Annabeth Vanderpoel. And at 10:30 on ABC, the after party for Descendants 2. That's all tonight, starting at 8 p.m. Eastern and Pacific on ABC and the other networks I mentioned. Check your local business for where those networks are available on cable and satellite, as well as your local ABC station. And for more details about the program online, here's where you go, DisneyChannel.Disney.com. DisneyChannel.Disney.com. Wendy Jaffe, executive producer of Descendants 2, thank you again for making the time before your show goes on. Congratulations to you and everybody on putting it together, and have a fantastic time tonight.
Thank you.
You're very welcome, Wendy. Take care. Enjoy. Enjoy. Wendy Jaffe, executive producer of Descendants 2, joining us live from Pasadena, California. More Tomorrow We Televise coming your way after some thoughts from the fine people at Audible.com. Kevin Hart has got a new service coming on smart TV sets and smart devices next month called Laugh Out Loud, and he's got a wonderful book out called I Can't Make This Up. Well, he's got that in audio form, and you can hear it if you get a trial subscription and make that your choice to Audible.com. Audible.com is the leading provider for spoken digital audio entertainment, information, and even inspiration with over 180,000 titles to choose from. You can listen to them on any device, including whatever you are hearing us on right now at Blog Talk Radio. Remember, if you sign up at audibletrial.com/televised, that's audibletrial.com/televised, you get one free audiobook like I Can't Make This Up by Kevin Hart or another of your choice, and 1 month trial of service plus free customer service because Audible.com is owned by Amazon.com. So hear for yourself why Audible.com will transform the way you hear the world. Get that free book and that 30-day trial at audibletrial.com/televised. When we come back, our latest classic trivia question of the week winner and that winning answer and what they're getting in return. But first, we go here to New York, and we're going to meet up with the writer of a new off-Broadway play about TV's influence on a bunch of very interesting characters and the co-star and producer who's helping put it together in more ways than one. Writer C.S. Hansen, producer and co-star Phoebe Marr, join us live after we pause after the bottom of the hour for web identification. You are connected to the best internet radio on the planet, www.blogtalkradio.com, more than 25 million listeners around the world every month and growing. It's your home for Social Media Sunday. Check it out this Sunday, 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific, exclusively on Blog Talk Radio. And remember, best to be to our 24/7 at YouTube.com. Welcome back to the second half hour of this 90-day edition of Tomorrow Be Televised. Simon Applebaum with you live from New York, where it's a blazing 90 degrees at the top of the hour. We're in day 2 or 3 of this heat wave. Hope all is great where you are. If you're in the heat wave area, once again, please take it easy. Don't go crazy. You know, take your time. Drink lots of water and fluid, check in on the loved ones, and stick around and be part of our action here on Blog Talk Radio. We will keep you company, and we will get through this heat wave together. We have some wonderful people coming your way in the hour ahead, and we invite you to be part of the program. All it takes, your voice, and using this phone number, 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. Every so often on this program, we don't cover an upcoming television series or a TV technology. We like to explore TV from some offbeat ways, and this next half hour is sort of part of that process. Next month, Theater for the New City, a very popular off-Broadway theater here in New York, is putting on a play called TV in My Bones. It's all about how TV influences a bunch of interesting residents in and around this fair city. And there's a catch. This play, which is taking place August 10th and 13th, is also being crowdfunded. And the crowdfunding campaign is still going on. Later on, we'll tell you how you can be part of it through Indiegogo.com. Joining me here in New York is the playwright of TV in My Bones, C.S. Hansen. Hi, C.S. Welcome in.
Hi, Simon. Great to be here.
Same here. And joining both of us is one of the co-stars and one of the co-producers of your play, Phoebe Marr. Hi, Phoebe.
Hi, Simon. We're very excited. Thank you.
Same here. It's a pleasure to have you in. And a bit of a disclosure, Phoebe and I have known each other in a number of different ways here in the Big Apple, so I really appreciate her being on. And C.S., I'll start with you. Tell us about how you got this play together.
Well, actually, my friend Richard Stern, who runs a marvelous reading series called the St. Luke's Second Monday Play Reading Series in the Times Square area, asked me, I guess it was back in January, did I have anything new for his reading series? And he's been very supportive over the years. He's a renowned actor and the founder of this series. So what was happening in my life at the time was I was watching a lot of TV. All this new content was just, it was kind of taking over. And I'm a writer. I've never really been a big TV watcher, but with Hulu and Netflix and, oh my goodness, you know, the list goes on. I was consuming a lot, and I was talking with other people about what they were watching, and somehow I wanted to get control of my writing life. I thought, well, TV is part of my life, so what can I do? I love writing short plays. I love the short play format, and I found that thematically TV could connect a number of my short plays together. And lo and behold, I got something together for Richard to do the reading. We had a really marvelous reading back in it was February. And then Phoebe came along and was looking for something to produce. So.
CJ, what were some of those shows you were watching, and how do they figure in, if at all, in your play?
Oh, it's interesting. The list is really too long, but the shows, well, I'll give you an example of how they figure in. One of the short plays, I'll start from the play point of view, because I am a playwright. I'm not a TV expert. In one of my plays, a scientist is creating a robot to send to outer space, and he's been working on this robot. His name is Dr. Oliver Darling. He's been working on the robot, Double D, for about 10 years. In his laboratory, very isolated society, and he's been downloading reruns of Friends and Seinfeld and watching It's a Wonderful Life, the movie. And the robot, of course, in her operating system now, has been influenced by TV. In fact, she has downloaded all references to Western civilization and all TV and all movies. Now she no longer wants to go to outer space. She simply wants to live a wonderful life. So that's the premise of one short play. And in subtle ways and powerful ways, each of the characters in these shorts are affected by what they are watching.
Phoebe, how did you get involved in this play? What drew your attention?
Well, honestly, I just wanted to put on a play. My world has been more geared towards getting TV and film roles for the past year. But I come from the theater. I come from the stage. I grew up dancing on stage, doing the Nutcracker. My brother is a ballet dancer. The stage is my original home. And I just had this yearning to return there. So I thought, what playwrights do I know? And one of the ones that I reached out to was Miss C.S. Hansen. And I fell in love with C.S. Hansen's work about 5 or 6 years ago. We did a reading together with the Red Harlem Readers. And I was an actress in one of her short plays called Under My Box Spring, in which a a New York City dwelling woman falls in love with a bed bug.
Of course.
And this play really caught my attention. I thought, who is this woman creating this wonderfully quirky and some yet somehow relatable world? And so her creative genius has remained in my consciousness, and we've always kept in touch over the years. And she was so gracious to send me a couple things to look at and say, what would you like to put on? And there was something about TV in my bones, something about these characters who are all influenced by TV, which I think is a nerve that is kind of raw right now for a lot of people. And these characters, many of them are searching for love and find themselves in quite desperate, perhaps offbeat, off-kilter situations in the pursuit, or in some cases running away from love. And it was a delight to read, and I, to be quite honest, I saw great roles that I as an actress wanted to tackle, and great roles for my friend Caitlin Pierce, who is also my producing partner in this. and every actor is endlessly searching for that those kind of parts. And I thought to myself, I've landed on some kind of gold mine. And also, there's something about this short play format that C.S. Hansen is so gifted with that resonates for me, and I think resonates for today's theater audiences. Because we are a TV watching generation, and we are more now adapted to short form content, I think that the world C.S. Hansen has created of these short plays is going to be really accessible to people who maybe haven't been to the theater in a while.
And Simon, yes, I'd like to add that Phoebe is really not only a beautiful producer in all of this, and I didn't know she had these production skills.
Neither did I.
Genuinely bringing this material to life, as is Caitlin Pierce and a marvelous cast directed by our wonderful Stephen Cedars, and it's a great collaboration. This show is moving from A to Z. We're making a lot of discoveries in the rehearsal process, and people are bringing in influences of television even in the rehearsal room.
Yeah, CS and I were talking earlier. And we were saying how anytime you do a play, something happens where a show spirit is created. There's some kind of unique bond to that specific production and cast. And we were saying how our show spirit is TV. It's just something that keeps bringing us together. It keeps making us laugh and making us rethink the material that we're working with.
C.S., when Phoebe and Caitlin, both co-producers, came to you and said, I want to not only produce this, but I want to be a role player, did they come to you saying, I want this role, or did they leave it up to you to pick the role that they ended up playing?
Oh, that's a very interesting
question.
I had seen Phoebe's work before, and I really, really loved what she did in that reading 5 years ago, and I remembered it. So I thought to myself, and I don't even know if I said this to you, Phoebe, but whatever Phoebe wants to do in this show, I trust that she will make the right choices. And then I met Caitlin, and I was very impressed by her. And then we held auditions, and I made it very clear as a playwright, a playwright really does have veto power when it comes to casting, because the cast is, you know, it's so important. And I guess in answer to your question, the people that Steve and Caitlin brought into the audition process were really quite wonderful. And we had a good round of auditions, and, you know, in some cases had some callbacks, and we came up with a really wonderful cast.
We are speaking with C.S. Hansen and Phoebe Marr. C.S. is the playwright, and Marr is the co-producer and co-star of TV in My Bones. It's got a run coming up off-Broadway at the Theater for the New City here in Nueva York, August 10th and the 13th. And there is a crowdfunding campaign underway. We'll see about that in our next segment. The vote training is live here in New York this half hour on Tomorrow We Televise. Simon Applebaum with you live from the Big Apple, 90 sweltering degrees outside. Hope you are cool wherever you are and cool with us. If you have a question or comment for our guests, give us a rating, 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. And coming up at the top of the hour, we are going live to Jamaica, not in Queens, but the Isle of Jamaica in the Caribbean, and we're speaking with one very luminous person who is about to show us a different side of herself, maybe, and that's Victoria Rowell, the Emmy-nominated NAACP Image-winning actress. You remember her from The Young and the Restless, Diagnosed with Murder, both on CBS, and now she is doing her own thing as star, co-executive producer, and creator of The Rich and the Ruthless, the new daytime drama dramedy, how's that for a tongue twister three times fast, which is premiering next Friday on the Urban Movie Channel. She will join us live from Jamaica next half hour, exclusively here on Tomorrow We Televise. She's also one of the pioneering champions of diversity on television, and we'll talk about that as well later on when we have her after the top of the hour. Phoebe, talk about the crowdfunding campaign, and when did that enter into this equation?
Sure. So we are doing our crowdfunding, Caitlin and I, through Indiegogo. We started that campaign, I suppose, about a month ago. Our goal that we set is $8,000, and we are at the $5,000 mark. So I'm very happy with that. I must say, I don't think that I would ever again try to fundraise while producing, while acting. It's quite interesting to wear all these hats at once. But even before the crowdfunding began, the only reason that I was blessed enough to be able to carry on with this dream, this experiment, this idea, was because of a gathering of the tribe, which is a nonprofit organization that I work with and that is run by the magical Steve Cannon, who is one of my dearest friends, who is like a member of my family. He is my biggest cheerleader, and he fronted me the money to put the deposit on the theater. So without him, this doesn't exist, and he really is a huge inspiration for me in all ways of thinking about art. He is a proponent of grassroots arts projects. He believes in not waiting. He's endlessly curious about young artists, and his whole life's mission is to keep it going, to pass it forward, to encourage people and to bring people together, which is what theater does. So, you know, I just think Steve is one of the most marvelous people I've ever met. By the way, he's blind. I've been reading to him about 6 years. And if anybody wants to meet a real New York character who can tell you stories from, you know, the beginning of time, please go meet Steve Cannon on the Lower East Side. He'd love to sit down with you. You can read the New York Times to him, and he'll become a good friend of yours.
Now, something interesting about this crowdfunding. Go ahead.
Simon, and another really, really wonderful person in all of this is Crystal Field at Theater for the New City.
Yes.
She is such a supporter of off Broadway shows, and many of my shorts from previous productions have been done there. And she's a visionary, and she keeps that theater going, and it is such a beautiful experience. It's very collaborative, very encouraging, and I think it's worth going to Theater for the New City for any show that they have there to experience that off Broadway flavor.
That you and Caitlin put together this tape for this crowdfunding campaign in a way sort of spoofs the whole idea of crowdfunding.
Right.
How did you come up with it?
Well, I think what we did is we tried to capture the spirit of the play we're doing. There is sort of a meta theater aspect of TV in My Bones. We are talking about storytelling. We are drawing attention to the fact that we're actors. And so we incorporate that idea into the Indiegogo video. So we're making light of the whole situation. As I like to say, Caitlin and I are playing dumber versions of ourselves. We even refer to ourselves as Romy and Michelle at one point in the video, because I thought that perfectly captured the spirit of our relationship in that context. I just wanted to have fun with it, because that's what the show is about. We, at the end of the day, we want to entertain you, and I felt, why not start with the Indiegogo video?
There's a very goofy spirit to it. I'll just leave it at that when you see that video. And we'll, by the way, tell you how you can get involved in that campaign at the end of the interview. C.S., what does your play – is the play a one-full play, or is it a set of, like, sketches, a set of, like, say, blackouts or sketches where you have, like, a particular character for 10, 15 minutes, another character, and so on?
Yes, well, it's a series of related – I would say 10-minute plays. Each play has a running time of about 10 minutes. And some characters weave in and out. There's also a prologue. I created a narrator role, and the way this has evolved is he's kind of like a host of a late night talk show.
Yeah, like a Stephen Colbert type.
Right. So he's introducing each of the stories, which are 10-minute plays, and then at the end the entire cast has this big blowout number to conclude the evening.
There's a lot of surprises, Simon. I must say.
So Phoebe, do we get a chance to see you choreograph as well? It sounds like we're gonna have another Descendants 2 coming our way.
Do you mean that I'm choreographing in this show?
The closing number. That's what Tia was alluding to, the closing number. We just had Wendy from Sense 2. They mentioned the fact that there's this big, super production number that comes out at the end.
Well, yeah, you know what, Simon? The end does have a finale-esque ta-da moment. And who knows, maybe some flamenco will end up there. Probably not, but I can dream. However, there is Caitlin Pierce plays a role in which there's a little dance moment that she has said, Phoebe, you need to choreograph something for me there. However, I love what she's been doing. She has some amazing natural dance instincts, and Caitlin also has like the most incredible limbs of life. So all she has to do is raise her arm, and it looks great.
Mm-hmm. Simon, it's the end. I've decided I'm changing the ending. It's going to be a big flamenco dance. It just has to be that way.
Yeah. I told you about that, Sia. And by the way, we should let our audience know that that's how Phoebe and I met several years ago in flamenco class at Steps with our wonderful teacher, Victoria, who is still doing his thing. Good afternoon, yes. So shout out to Victoria Corjan and the wonderful people that I deal with every Sunday afternoon from 3:30 to 6:30 at Steps. The best, by the way, anyone who's anywhere in the dance world, Steps on Broadway, 34th and Broadway on the corner. It's really something special any day of the week. What is sort of the basic conclusion you want the audience to make or you want to point out about television and how it's influenced, especially in this time where now you have this incredible quantity and quality of something called peak television. I call it plentiful television, where the script works, very cinematic, really outstanding, goes in all sorts of directions, both scripted and unscripted, and also you have smart TV sets and smart devices that allow us to do everything from play video games to order merchandise to maybe down the road choose which way we want a television show to go.
I think what is happening in our culture today is that people are bringing their TV habits with them wherever they go. So what you're watching is it's becoming, unless you're not watching anything, it's becoming part of your world. So the characters in these shows are affected by what they're watching, and they're also watching it on the devices that they choose to watch it on. You can be in a coffee shop hooked up to your tablet downloading the OC. You know, you can be watching on your cell phone when you're traveling. And what we watch, I believe, does affect our behavior. And because I feel like people are getting so close to the characters they're watching. And it may be from, we are now able to binge watch. You can stay up late at night into the wee hours of the morning, getting to know characters from episode one through the end of the first season, and you can keep going all the way to season six if you want to. And in doing that, you're really immersing yourself into another world, and I think that people carry that with them, at least the characters in these plays that I've written are affected by what they're watching.
Phoebe, before you go, two things. Yeah. First of all, how long is the crowdfunding campaign going to continue? And secondly, what's after this for you, whether acting or producing?
So viewers, our lovely fans, anybody who loves theater can continue to contribute to this marvelous production for another month. August 19th is the final day of the campaign, and I want to say that any contribution does so much, really, because these actors who are are gems of New York are working for very, very little. So one contribution does a lot for one person. And I also do want to mention my actors, who I am so overwhelmed by their talent and their commitment to this. And these people are Devin Caraway, Jason Nuzzo, Peter Oliver, Michael Petty, Alexander Stein, Gabriel Wright, and then, of course, Caitlin Pierce and little old me, Phoebe Marr, under the captainship of Steven Cedars, who's in Austria right now. My stage manager and assistant director, Bianca Rogoff, who is a fire magician goddess. This team is so beautiful, and this thing, which started out with just a little idea, let's put on a play, has taken on a life of its own. So contribute to the Indiegogo, and most importantly, come see the play. August 9th is a preview. The ticket is actually a little bit cheaper. It's $12 on August 9th, and the opening is August 10th. We're having a little reception in the theater after that 8 p.m. performance. And on the Saturday, August 12th, there is a 3 p.m. show, following which we have a talk back with our playwright, illustrious C.S. Hansen, and the whole cast. So that would be a really great performance for people to come to as well.
And you know, Phoebe, I think we should invite Simon to be part of that talk back.
Oh, that would be amazing.
Simon, you're the expert. I mean, I just write these plays. I have nothing to do with TV other than that. Simon, would you come to the talk back for us?
Get the details. We'll see what you do. Thank you for the invite.
All right.
We'll give it a go. The play is TV in My Bones, and you can catch it whether you're in New York or not. You can catch it in the Big Apple, a theater for the new city. It's in Manhattan. And as mentioned, the preview is August 9th. The play runs from August 10th to the 13th. And if you want more details about the play itself and the place that's running it, you go online to www.theaterforthenewcity.net. That's theaterforthenewcity.net. And to be part of the crowdfunding campaign for the play, it's indiegogo.com/projects, indiegogo.com/projects. The campaign will continue August 19th, and over $5,000 has been raised toward a goal of $8,000. C.S. Hansen, Phoebe Marr, thank you both very much for joining us. It's been a pleasure all the way this half hour. Congratulations on getting this play off the ground, and looking forward to catching it next month here in New York.
Thank you.
Thank you, Simon. You're wonderful. We really loved being on the show with you.
Yes. Thanks a lot.
You're welcome, C.S. and Phoebe. Take care. Have a sensational weekend.
Bye-bye. Stay cool.
C.S. Hansen, co-producer, co-star, Phoebe Marr of TV in My Bones, joining us live from New York. And now it's time for the answer to this week's classic trivia question, and we have a winner, our second one in 3 weeks. It's Rick Howe from Darlington, Maryland. At the start of the week, this was the question we posed. Name the NBC series where Darren McGavin stars as private investigator David Ross. The answer, The Outsider, back in 1968, ran for a season, 68-69. And Rick, congratulations, and our prize is already on its way to you, and that is the first episode DVD of the new Discovery Channel miniseries, Manhunt Unabomber. I saw the screening of it at Jazz Lincoln Center on Wednesday night. First two episodes, it's dynamite, and I think it's going to be a possible early nominee for next year's Emmy Awards, if the first two episodes are any indication. Great cast. Wonderful stars going to come out of that program, and you've got the first episode DVD coming your way, Rick. Thanks for playing. We'll have another classic trivia question for you on Monday's episode, and if you are first with the correct answer, maybe you might win a prize. At the very least, you'll get your name mentioned right here on this program. How do you get involved? Listen to the question on Monday, then email me, simonapple04@yahoo.com. That's simonapple04@yahoo.com. Don't forget to enclose your name and your full mailing address. And like I said, if you're first with the correct answer, we'll have your name and location presented right here on this very program. And who knows? You might win a prize by the DVD of Manhunt Unabomber coming to Discovery Channel on August 1st. Remember, in order to win, you got to be in. So play in, like Rick Howe from Darlington, Maryland did, and all the very best. He's our second winner in the last few weeks. It's Judy Clark of West New York, New Jersey, a few weeks ago. Get in. So get in. All you got to do is listen, play, and make it happen. This is Tomorrow We Televise. We have the program All About the Tube. We're with you Mondays and Fridays, 3 to meet your new visitors, usually an hour, sometimes 90 minutes right here on Blog Talk Radio. And coming on our program on Monday, Amazon has got a brand new series called The Last Tycoon. It's based on the classic novel by F. Scott Fitzgerald. And we've got the executive producers aboard for the ride, Billy Ray and Christopher Kaiser. They'll be with us here in New York when Amazon holds a press junket. Not only that series, but one coming up in August, the much-anticipated live-action version of the classic comic, The Tick. Executive producer and creator of the comic, Ben Edson, is part of it. We hope to have him on and his fellow executive producers on later tomorrow. We'll be already working with Amazon and the PRS about that. When we come back, we're going live to Jamaica, and we're going to speak with someone who has been part of our television lives in all sorts of ways, from The Young and the Restless to Diagnosis Murder. And next Friday, she sets out as star, creator and executive producer of her very own project, The Rich and the Ruthless. Victoria Rowell joins me live after we pause at the top of the hour for web identification. You are connected to www.blogtalkradio.com with some of the best internet radio in the universe. More than 25 million listeners around the world every month and growing. It's your home for Women Who Triumph Radio. That's Women Who Triumph Radio. Catch you next Tuesday, 10 a.m. Eastern, 7 a.m. Pacific, right here on Blog Talk Radio. Remember, best BTRW 24/7 at YouTube.com. And you can check out our program, those BTR shows, anytime you like, at Apple TV's iTunes podcast app. If you don't have Apple TV, go to an Apple store near you or order it online. Welcome back to Tomorrow We Televise on this Friday afternoon of July, and welcome those of you just joining us at the top of the hour. Simon Applebaum with you live from New York. 90 hot degrees here in the Big Apple. We hope that you are dealing with the heat wave if you're in one of those areas, including this fair city. If you are, take it easy. Don't go crazy. Make sure that you check in on your loved ones. Drink a lot of water and fluids and so forth. And stay with us here on Blog Talk Radio. We'll keep you company. A lot of great guests, including a wonderful guest coming your way very shortly from the island of Jamaica. And if you have a question or comment for that guest ahead, give us a ring, 646-652-2906. That's 646-652-2906. That number's good anyway. You're catching us across the country, around the world, here on Blog Talk Radio. And we've got our chat room going. It's SimonApple04 by name. You can find it on our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. Use the phone or the room. Either way, we will hear you. We kicked off this week with Dan Cleese. Don Cleese. He's the vice president for Acorn TV. It's a network that, through smart TV sets and devices, provides the best programming from England, Ireland, Canada, New Zealand, Australia. It's one of two television services available through smart TV devices, put together by the founder and former head of BET, Black Entertainment Television, Bob Johnson. Today we deal with the other service, Urban Movie Channel. It's been around for quite a while, and now it's getting around to doing original content. And that's what we're dealing with this half hour. And one of the first original programs debuts this coming Friday, July 28th. It's called The Rich and the Ruthless. And my next guest, who joins us live from the Isle of Jamaica in the Caribbean, is the star. She is the creator, and she's the executive producer of the series. She's been part of a lot of our lives in television as one of the co-stars of The Young and the Restless and the co-star of Dick Van Dyke on Diagnosis Murder on CBS. She had a wonderful book called The Woman Who Raised Me, still a great bestseller, and she's also a great early champion and still big champion of diversity on television. It is a pleasure to welcome this program, Victoria Rowell. Hi, Victoria.
Hi, how are you?
Very, very fine, thank you. And again, I always appreciate the fact that many moons ago when you hosted a special event for NAMIC, the Cable Diversity Association, it's a wonderful space time to talk about diversity, and I thank you for coming on again.
Yes, absolutely. I'm actually at a television station in Jamaica, one of the best TV stations around the world. It's called TV Jamaica, and it's helmed by Claire Grant, the general manager. And I'm working on my broadcast deal for The Rich and the Ruthless out here. So they call it all show and no business, but I'm all about the business, and so are you. So the show is The Rich and the Ruthless is a wonderful 6-episode soap opera. It's a dramedy starring Richard Brooks, Alicia Renee, Christal Wilson, myself, Robert Richard from Chakra City. You all know him and love him. Mikkel, Shannon Jenkins, Michael Collier. The list goes on and on. And I wanted to tell a soap opera from a black perspective, a black-owned soap opera where the network's trying to wrest ownership from the Barringer family. And it's Game of Thrones meets Empire meets The Office. We start streaming on July 28th. I'm so excited, on UMC.tv. And I want to encourage people to get those subscriptions immediately. We have a 7-day free trial, $4.99 a month, $4.99 a month, and we're so excited.
Victoria, how long did you think about putting this program together, not just as star, but really running your own boat, creating, executive producing, putting the whole thing together?
You know, I guess I've been working on it for a really long time. So, you know, I coined the idea many, many years ago. And then I started drafting the stories. And then those stories turned into a 2-book deal at Simon & Schuster with an amazing editor, Malaika Adira. And the books are also on the website. I want to encourage people to go to the website and learn more about The Rich and the Ruthless. It's therichandtheruthless.com. No spaces. In any event, it lists these 2 books, Secrets of a Super Diva, and the other title is The Young and the Ruthless. But in any event, those books came out and sold out at the Essence Fest, which was just there promoting the show. And so it's a process, right? We want people to understand you have to stay in the race. You have to be a long-distance runner to bring anything to fruition, and certainly a show like The Rich and the Ruthless. I knew I wanted it to have a comedic element. You know, I've worked with Wilcox and Eddie Murphy and Dick Van Dyke, as you mentioned. I've had the great pleasure of working with Jim Carrey. And comedy is my first knee-jerk go-to, and people don't always realize that. But this is a dramedy, so people will laugh and they may cry watching it.
How do you feel about doing a show that's very close to home, close to what was a major part of your career with Young and Restless, and from that, the whole area of daytime drama, and then you now have the opportunity to sort of dramedy it any way you want?
Yes, exactly. Well, listen, I was one of those children sitting between my mother's knees while she braided my hair watching The Doctors. So African Americans, as you may know, watch 7.5 hours of television in one sitting. And so it is not I'm on a TV station, guys. So we watch that much television in a sitting. We are loyal consumer viewers. Our consumerism is at, you know, over $1 trillion annually. So I knew the business perspectives behind the camera, and I wanted to write something from our perspective, but also to be at the wheel, not only to create the show, but to be at the wheel as an executive producer, to pass the net wider, to hire a black DP, a director of photography, to hire a black casting director and costumer and black producers, and the list goes on, that I was able to bring in my family that I have accrued, my Hollywood family, that are of color. My cast is a black-led cast, but it's also multicultural. I have 2 of the former superstars on Young and the Restless, Kimberlyn Brown, who plays Dr. Sheila Carter. She's just gone back to B&B. And Brenda Epperson, who played Ashley Abbott. So also given me an opportunity to pepper it with familiar faces in the daytime drama world. But more importantly, given me the opportunity to cast black not only in front of the camera, but behind the camera. So I've given this a lot of thought, economic inclusion thought as well as artistic thought. I hope I've answered that question.
Was Empire an influence, given the success of that show on Fox, which also deals with a African-American or company that is in media owned by people of color?
Well, the whole thing about The Rich and the Ruthless is that not only is it black-owned, as you know, Empire's owned by Fox, and that would be Rupert Murdoch, and that's what that is. But the nature of my content is that it's black-created, black-owned, black-executive-produced, black-directed. It is also black-streamed with Bob Johnson's streaming company, Urban Movie Channel, UMC.tv. And that, to me, speaks volumes, that we have Black created content and Black streamed content, and my first international deal will be at a television station. So it was very important to me to go out the gate in this way, to prove that it can be done, that Black original content is not only domestically valuable, but that UMC will also be streaming this in Canada and in parts, the rest of the Caribbean Basin. I already have interest in the Netherlands and the United Kingdom and South Africa. And this is a moving train. And I want, again, to emphasize how wonderful it is to be doing business with RLJ Entertainment, UMC TV. You can't just be about the creative. You have to do the research about who do you want to do business with, because I want to emphasize not all money is good money, because at the end of the day, if you're not in bed with the right partner, so to speak, then you may be compromising your creativity and just your own political awareness of bringing about change, not only for yourself, but for future generations. I know how imperative it is to be given an opportunity. And we have to keep building on the previous generations of hard work.
But was UMC the first and only choice? Had you looked at other places like BET, like Netflix, which has been doing a lot of things lately with shows like Dear White People, and they're doing She's Gotta Have It coming up from Spike Lee this fall?
I really wanted to work with Bob. Years ago, I talked to, and this is when it was even before it was in book form. As you know, BET is a part of the CBS family, so they knew about this, obviously. Debbie knew about this, but BET and CBS are family. And I don't know why BET go into the soap opera genre. Maybe CBS didn't want a Black soap opera on under that umbrella for fear of cannibalizing its audience. You know, the black actors on The Young and the Restless are very powerful, and we drew in tremendous audience share. And Shamar left, a million people left with him. I dare say that amount left when I fell off the cliff. But the point is that I landed with the right partnership. And Urban Movie Channel, we're going to blow it up with The Rich and the Ruthless. And it's very important, as I say, to take those meetings and explore who would be the best fit for the product and for the relationship, not only as a one-off, but I'm in a scenario now where we're talking about how can we broaden and expand the relationship. And that is very, very important to me, the narrative and in the future.
It says something about the people you're dealing with, and it certainly says something about Bob and his crew in terms of the fact that they see you as a foundation for where they want to go. Because you're really breaking ground for them. This is one of their first original scripted shows. And, you know, so goes you, possibly so goes how far UMC wants to go in terms of original scripted.
Correct. It's as I say, it comes with the pedigree of a soap opera, clearly, the number one soap opera in the country. I know that it's over-indexed with African-American women, predominantly in the South, the number one market being Louisiana. But also, you know, it was licensed to over 100 countries, the aggregate. So with The Rich and the Ruthless, which is compounded with certainly the experience that I have and the experience, I mean, rich experience, not only in daytime, but Richie Brooks, he stars on Being Mary Jane, Alicia Renee stars on The Detroiters. The list goes on in terms of the expertise. It's a big cast because we're telling the perspective of in front and behind the camera of the dynamics, the family and political dynamics network, but within the drama, the family drama of running a show. So think, you know, Berry Gordy and Motown and the family and the behind the scenes, and then the comedy inside of, you know, in soap opera, when you're running a show like a one-hour show, that's 64 pages a day. Well, sure, the wheels are going to fall off the bus. And anyone who you say that to in entertainment, they're in disbelief that a soap opera shoots 64 pages a day. Half hour shoots, of course, half of that. But when you take into consideration feature films may shoot 8 pages a day. There's a tremendous amount of work that goes into shooting a soap opera. So I illustrate the drama and the comedy that comes out of the drama in that setting.
We are speaking with NAACP Image Award winner, Emmy nominee, Victoria Rowell. She is the star, the creator, and executive producer of The Rich and Ruthless, one of Urban Movie Channel's first original scripted TV series. And it begins 1 week from today, July 28th. Victoria joins us live from Jamaica this half hour exclusively on Tamavi Televised. Simon Appleband with you live from New York. Delighted you're with us on this Friday afternoon, July. 90 degrees here in the Big Apple. We hope you're cooling down wherever you are. And if you have a question or comment, Victoria, don't be shy. Bring it in, 646-652-2906, or get into our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. Coming up, 2 weeks from Monday, August 7th, we mark 10 years of the program All About Television, and boy, we're going to kick off our second decade in style. Our two special guests joining us. First, the new head of Platform One Media. That was a news note on our program Monday. The former head of Gaumont Television behind Narcos and Hemlock Grove on Netflix and Hannibal on NBC, Katie O'Connell Marsh. She will be our lead guest. And right after her, the very first guest we had who went on Blog Talk Radio in May of 2009, the head of FX, John Landgraf. It's his first interview since he did that one back in May of 2009. Katie O'Connell Marsh from Platform One Media, John Landgraf FX, two of our very special guests on our 10th anniversary edition of Tomorrow Be Televised. Don't miss it. 2 weeks from Monday, August 7th, 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific, 90 minute edition, exclusively on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. Victoria, how did things come together? What did you like the most about putting this together and having this kind of hands-on feeling of, I'm creating this, I'm producing this, I've got the people I want on all sides, and now we can really dive into this plot?
Yeah, you know what, as I said, it's been a slow burn, but a steady burn of research, turning over every stone, pitching, because it all starts with the investment, right? You have to have a budget. And I pitched, I worked out who I wanted to approach first in terms of crew. I aspired for A-listers behind the camera and certainly in front of the camera at all costs. And I was able to put together a team of investors that believed in this project. And they're not in the industry. These are business persons. But they believe in the investment based upon everything that you and I have been discussing about economic inclusion, because I saw the disparity in Hollywood, daytime, primetime, feature film. And that was part of my pitch. And that, if anything, really brought in the dollars to shoot our first season of The Rich and the Ruthless. I already have the investment for a second season. We begin shooting on August 21st and wrap on September 1st. And I'm very proud that my investors are predominantly Black, and that they believe, business persons, as I say, believe in this project. So to answer your question in summation, as you know, it is a business plan, so it takes time, and we live in a micro society where everyone expects things to happen overnight, and that is not reality. You have to stay the course. It is a long distance marathon, and I was in it to win it. I have worked with a variety of writing partners over the years on different projects. I've developed 8 projects. This is only one of 8 projects. Continue to stay in touch with the relationships from the director of photography to a script supervisor. Richard Brooks and I worked together 20 years ago on Diagnosed Murder, and we knew we wanted to work together again. And this is what it's about. Relationships are important, and it has come to fruition. This project has been a long time coming, and almost equally as important, if not equally as important, were staying in touch with my fan base. My fans are extraordinary. There's nothing like soap opera fans. And they're loyal, and they never leave. They follow you where you go. And so my Young and the Restless fans are going to be tuning in to The Rich and the Ruthless, and I'm profoundly grateful to the fans out there worldwide. Thank you.
What do you think, Victoria, about the state of diversity overall in television? And I asked this after last night here in New York at the Schomburg Center in Harlem, seeing Snowfall, John Singleton's new series for FX, which has, while it has had mixed reviews, and I think it's a terrific show, has done very well so far for that network. You have, for example, a network like FX that is doing a show like Snowfall, doing a show like Atlanta, which got a lot of Emmy nominations, and frankly, I think that's going to be the best comedy winner. I'd be shocked if Donald Glover does not win for acting and does not win for that show, which has turned out to be more than just a comedy about a character. It's really turned out to be a microcosm, if you will, about a city. It's a very unclassifiable show. And then you have programs like Dear White People. You have Underground. You have American Crime.
You have Insecure. You have Eva DuVernay with Queen Sugar and Oprah. Yeah, I think all of this is important, but we're still under-indexed in terms of content on television. And we cannot stop and pin the industry on Shonda Rhimes or Oprah or Tyler or John or Ava. No. We have a lot more to do here, and we have to remember that we're still under indexed in terms of television content and also at the box office. And it is imperative that we continue to request more real estate on Netflix, on Hulu, on the three networks in terms of ABC, CBS, NBC, of course, and certainly opportunities everywhere. I mean, I'm not going to go down the litany of platforms. Thank God that there's streaming and a UMC TV. Thank God that there are opportunities out there to show your materials and that it's not just about the Emmys and the Oscars, but they have awards programs like the ISA 8 Awards, which are Independent Digital Series Awards programs, or the NIMP Awards in Monte Carlo. There are other opportunities. We have to remember that this sometimes in the States can turn into rubber walls. And you have to look beyond. I mean, I look for financing in Turkey. I look for financing outside of the United States because there are dollars in Germany and dollars in Canada, and there are dollars in Greece and Italy that investors that are interested in our content because we are everybody. And our stories resonate just because somebody doesn't look. How long have blacks been watching Caucasian content? Because it was the only thing that was on. So the idea that people that don't look like us, assuming that they're not interested in our stories, they are. We're just told that we are not exportable. If it's a dollar for every time an executive at a particular distribution company in the United States told me, Japanese owned, said to me, oh, well, it doesn't sell. No, it does sell overseas and big. So
but no, Victoria,
I just want to encourage our listeners not to limit themselves.
Absolutely. And I think it's very clear that this is having diversity in television is not a one-way-to-go thing. You have to attack on so many different levels. Studio level, TV level, production level, network level, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But a couple of things are happening now, particularly this last year or two, that I think may make things more optimistic or more hopeful. One, the fact is that you and a number of other actresses of color, Viola Davis, Regina King from American Crime, Kerry Washington, Jennifer Lopez, America Ferrari, are forming their own production companies to get their own material going. We have a TV festival circuit now in New York and L.A. and Chicago and Long Island that is now giving more independent filmmakers of color the opportunity to create TV pilots. And there's also crowdfunding,
right,
which may very well be a major new way, especially with equity crowdfunding, for people to get pilots made and at the same time build an audience of people to support them financially in getting off the ground.
No, absolutely. Crowdfunding, I did look at that. It didn't work for me for this particular project, but you know, I know that it has worked and it has been, you know, absolutely groundbreaking for getting projects off of the ground. That is a mechanism. Equity financing, international film funds. There are a number of ways to get your project, but you have to be about the business and you have to be persistent. It can be soul crushing. You have days where you just absolutely want to dissolve into a puddle because it is very, very hard work. And if it were easy, everyone would be doing it. We know this, and we know that our content is a taste maker content. Our content is extraordinary, and yet we can do all the pitch meetings we want, but we will be told, "Oh, it doesn't quite fit in the lineup." And it doesn't quite fit because you don't understand how to tell the story. And I know that African Americans, I encourage everyone to read Professor Darnell Hunt, Ralph J. Bunch report, UCLA report. He does one every year, The Disconnect Between Hollywood and African Americans. It's a fascinating study, and he does it every year. And he does all of the analytical scientific studies, and I know that The Rich and the Ruthless speaks to an audience here that is global, because France is also black. The Mediterranean is also black. You know what I mean? Germany, I mean, we are everywhere. And it's not just about we, but it's about everybody. I think our content speaks to the world. And we have to write it and find homes for it. And there are enough homes out there that if you're persistent enough, Louise, you can find one. But the name of the game is to find the right partners, your financing, be respectful of people's time. I do want to make this point that it is important to have the right content that resonates with the right home, but also with your talent. You want to work with them more than once, so please pay them. You got to pay your talent in front and behind the camera, and I do want to make that point. Commerce is important. But we've got to honor each other as well. And we can't expect each other. How can we expect other people to pay us when we're not paying ourselves and our own people? So it's very important to respect our talent, and that's equally as important. But The Rich and the Ruthless, we shot it in Los Angeles. We also shot it in Montego Bay, Jamaica, at Secrets Resorts and Spa. The Jampro, the film commissioner, Renee Robinson, here in Jamaica. This is a SAG-AFTRA new media production, proudly. We're union, and we get ready to do it again.
Mm-hmm. And the first batch of episodes of The Rich and the Ruthless premieres 1 week from today, July 28th, on the Urban Movie Channel, which is available on many smart TV sets and devices such as Roku, Google, Chromecast, Apple TV, etc. For more details about the program online, here's where you go, www.umc.tv. That's umc.tv. And as Victoria said, second season already in the works. Victoria Rowell, thank you so much for making the time this afternoon. It is a pleasure and an honor to have you on. Good luck with the program. I'm glad it's going to a second season. I hope it's the beginning of a wonderful relationship with more shows coming from you on Urban Movie Channel and other places too. And thank you again for making the time.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome, Victoria. All the greatest. Take care. Have a beautiful weekend.
My pleasure. Same to you.
Victoria Rowell joining us live from Jamaica here on Tomorrow Be Televised. Thanks to all of our guests and all of you for being with us. Coming up on Monday, we will have Billy Ray and Christopher Kreiser from Amazon Studios' new production, The Last Tycoon, which premieres next week. Remember, you can catch our replays at www.blogsforfree.com/televised. Check out the podcast on iTunes.com and Apple TV's iTunes podcast app. And we want to hear from you. What are the name of our guests today? What's your thoughts on where TV is at, where it's going, especially with diversity and inclusion? Let me know. SimonApple04@yahoo.com. Also, find me on Facebook and follow me on Twitter at UBCSimonTWBT. That's at UBCSimonTWBT. We love hearing from you because what you say matters. The views expressed in this program are those of the participants, not those of Blog Talk Radio. Our production associate is Candace Williams. Annie Toad is Blog Talk Radio's general manager, with Jay Steinberg, executive content producer. The co-founders of this enterprise are Alan Levy and Bob Charis. Bobby Televised is brought to you today by Audible.com and Amazon Company. Audible will transform the way you hear the world. It's Bobby Televised. I'm Simon Applebaum in New York. Thank you for listening. Have a fantastic weekend. Back Monday, 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific, you know where, Blog Talk Radio. If you're in the heat wave zone, please be great and especially be safe out there. Until the next time, stay well and stay tuned.